Praise God. The second epistle to the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. All the T books are together in the New Testament. 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Titus. We're just finishing up last week, chapter 2. Talking about the topic, and a very difficult topic, and I consulted some of the higher men that have been before me that have taught these things, and they dread teaching something like this because it's a very difficult thing to teach. It's a very difficult thing to understand. For number one, we are not God. We are not eternal. We are His children. But we are not eternal like we've always existed. We are going to exist from here on to eternity because of the blood of Jesus and being born again. We are not going to decay. We're not going to grow old in that way. We're going to have a body that doesn't do that anymore. It's going to live forever with God. But we don't have this full understanding capability that He has, this outside of time thing. We're very trained in the reality around us. So it's hard for us to think like He does. And here we're confronted with something that is a difficult thing. And it's talking about a great delusion that's going to be sent. This is the end times that is being discussed in the Bible. The Bible has a beginning called Genesis. It means the beginning. And it has an end, Revelation. And it talks about the end, which is really the end of this earth and the universe all around us. And there's going to be a new heaven and earth created from that. So it's awesome that we have a complete book. It's not just a book about, hey, how to behave now and get along with people. That's in here. Relationships are real big. But it also talks about our origins and where we're headed. These letters are directed towards the things that are about to come. Now, when I was in high school, when I was Josh's age, there was different things happening in the world. And there was talk of events rolling out and watch out for this and watch out for that. And I've gotten to see those things actually happen. The technology coming to place, where all the world can be communicated with all at once. If you go to third or even fourth world countries today, they might live in a hay straw shack, or they might live in a hut, but you'd be amazed they have cell phones. That technology is spread all over the world. So even the humblest of places, you'll find cell phones. Even up on the top of the mountain of Haiti, which is like fifth world, and you know, a baby crawling in the dirt is a normal thing, a healthy baby that's just living in huts. That, you know, they have technology up there. So it's everywhere. So that it wasn't when I was Josh's age. There were no cell phones. There weren't even, I think there was pagers. Yeah, there was pagers. That was the first thing I had when I started on my job on the road fixing computers. You had a beep, beep, then you had to find a phone booth. And that smelled like pee because the wino was just in there the night before. And then you get a talk on this thing. It's like, oh, yeah. Just to tell you, you got to turn around and you got to go, oh, my goodness. The technology, I'm thankful for it. But you could see that it's the stage has been set that this Antichrist can communicate with everyone all at once, that a world leader can really lead. And we've witnessed that just in the past 5 years, just unprecedented types of governments toppling. Just things didn't happen like this before, where in a day a government falls over, you know, with Egypt and Libya and different things that have happened. These are signs of the times. Wars, nations rising against nations, all of these things are like birth pains. They're like a woman that's pregnant and the signs that come right before the delivery. But when it happens, it's going to be so fast. Don't be like I was when I was Josh's age and I'm going to wait to that last moment. And I want to live for the world. I want to get all I can get out of this world and what it has to offer. And I tell you what, folks, what this world has to offer is really a plate of beans compared to what the kingdom of heaven has to offer us. But those are things we learn. I was very immature at that time, extremely. So in this last time, just to summarize chapter 2 here very quickly, it tells us, let no man deceive you by any means. And it talks about the day of Christ here. What's the day of Christ? Verse 1 in chapter 2 says, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the topic. That's what we consider end times. That's the end of the book. The second coming of Jesus. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is like manger scene number 2, except he's not going to be born in a manger. He's going to come on a horse like a warrior. Yeah. And by our gathering together unto him. So the end times is going to involve Jesus coming and him gathering people. He's going to gather his bride. He's considered the groom. We're considered the bride. If you're a guy and you don't like to be called a bride, well, it's fair. It's all fair because all through the Bible, it talks about sons. Your son. So the ladies have to put up with that. The guys can put up with being a bride. So it's fair. It's a fair shake. So we are the bride of Christ, and Jesus is going to come for his bride. Man, I would do anything for my bride. And I think it would be a romantic thing to just rescue her and, you know, all that stuff. And one of the most romantic stories that's local around here is a guy that, you hate this story, but I love it, is that, I think it was in Cayuga Lake or Wasco Lake even, his wife and him were drowning in the lake for whatever, I'm not sure what the situation was. But his last effort was to push his wife up on the boat as he slipped off into the deep. What a way to go, man. How romantic is that? That is like a hero kind of stuff. That's I want to lay my life down for my bride that way. That's the hero we got in Jesus Christ. He's going to come for his bride. He already died for his bride. Now he's going to come and gather her up. So we have a great hero. There is no story, even the Wasco Lake one, that can compare to the cross and how much he loves you, that he would lay down his life. What an awesome, romantic story. Praise God. It's impacted me and my life. It's the reason I stand up here and share is because Jesus Christ died for me. So that's the basics of the end times, is that Jesus Christ is coming. He's going to gather his bride. And then the wrath of God is going to pour out on this earth. And the talk about global warming, things are going to be really intense here. We don't want to be part of that. And we know there's a promises right here that God has not appointed us to wrath. Two different times, and actually a third time it's mentioned, which we'll get into hopefully here, that he's not appointed us to wrath. It's not the idea. So the wrath that's going to be poured out is for those that love not the truth. They've heard the truth. They've heard it. But then they just allowed it to pass through the other ear. You have opportunity. You've been given the truth. What are you going to do with that truth? There's more than just hearing things. There's the hearing and the believing and the doing. Even our salvation involves a believing, a hearing, and then a believing in the heart, and then the doing is the voicing it out, is the confession with the mouth. Well, out of the heart, the mouth speaking, something that's changing in your heart. The gathering unto him and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. During this time frame of the end times, there's going to be one that rises up too, and that's not going to be Christ. He's considered the Antichrist. More accurately, the pseudo-Christ, a replacement of Christ. He's not going to necessarily be against Christ and downplay Jesus, but he's going to be a replacement of. The bigger thing is that he's going to be a hero. A savior of the world in the sense of the starving people, the problems in the world, the wars that are going on, he's going to bring a peace. The people that reject Antichrist are going to be, not only lose their heads, but they're going to be considered crazy and mocked because this guy is going to be such a hero. You think that's impossible? We've seen it happen before. There's already been antichrists that have existed on this earth. Nero and Hitler, Stalin, different ones that have killed just numerous people. that raised up in that spirit of the Antichrist, but they are not the Antichrist himself. But the same spirit. The thing with Hitler to remember, though, is the people loved him, and they still do. There's still some people there that think this guy was a just dynamic, wonderful leader that saved their country and brought them into prosperity. Gave people work again. People were eating again, healthy. Saved their country, and he did. But he was filled with the devil. There's only one problem. And to have allegiance to the devil is a big problem. There is only two kingdoms. And you can have prosperity in either kingdom. You can be rich and have everything in the kingdom of Satan. You can have all these things and the powers given to you. But it's a delusion. It's deception. Eventually, that's going to end up in hell. All of that, even the devil himself. So this Antichrist will rise up. He says, first, these things need to happen. That day shall not come. What? The day of Jesus coming and him gathering together unto him. That day shall not come except there be a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So two things need to happen before Jesus Christ comes and the gathering together unto him. That the man of sin be revealed. How is he going to be revealed? The third temple. The third temple, he will declare himself to be God. That's verse 4 there. He opposes anything that is a religion. He's going to be, you know, hey, this is too narrow-minded. This is too narrow-minded. Let's just work all together. And we see that already, the framework of coexisting together. You'll see bumper stickers around here. You'll be driving around and, oh, look at that. There it is. Heard the preacher talking about that. It says coexist on the bumper sticker. And it has a picture of a moon and the Star of David and a cross for the T. That's all the religions of the world getting together. He's going to supersede himself above that. He's going to glue all those things together and make himself to be God over all of that. My own dad was deceived in that particular area. And it's called the Baha'i faith. And there's different sects that go after that. And that it even considers Lucifer one of the, you know, one of the assets of this belief system. You know, he's just one of the team. That's part of the basis of what the Antichrist is going to do. And he's going to bring himself above all of that. And he's going to be in that third temple, declare himself to God. And then immediately the scales of the Jewish people, the scales on their eyes are going to drop off and they're going to flee. So Paul is saying, remember I told you this. So he's trying to calm them down because they're getting persecuted. They're getting tortured because of their belief in Christ. And he's saying, hey, calm down. The time isn't now. These things need to happen first. I've already told you this. In verse 7, he says, the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only now let us, he that lets will let until he is taken out of the way. So something's going to be taken out of the way to allow everything to go forward here. The only thing I could think of there is the Holy Spirit-filled church. Then the wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. A lot of these things can be hours apart, these events. The rapture of the church, the revealing in the third temple, all of these things can be just moments apart. Even him who is coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. Here's the difficult teaching, that God would allow a strong delusion on people that are still down here, haven't died yet. But God would say, that's it, you're done. Give them over to this delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So I wish they would have taught this to me when I was Josh's age. Because I went to a class, there was a revival in the Catholic Church, like crazy revival. Saw things like, wow, this is really cool. But I would not put both feet into it. I was always on the outside looking in. I went to the revival meetings. I was just, wow, there's such a presence here. but I was still on the outside. I wouldn't go in. I didn't want to give up my life with my friends in the carnality. There's a strong power there. I don't take that lightly with the young people at all, because I was a young people myself. I know the power there, even in the presence of God, in such power and greatness. I wanted one foot in that and one foot in the world. But in reality, both feet were in the world. That's called lukewarm. Ask Asher what hot means. He'll pronounce it very clearly for you. God wants us to have both feet into His program. And it is so much more awesome than that plate of beans that this world has to offer. There's always this red cape that's in front of something that the devil is luring and says, you know, this is really wonderful stuff. And then when you find out, you know, after you buy into it, it's just like, this is empty. This really just is a bowl of beans. The real fulfillment, you've been designed for heaven. You've not been designed for the world and the flesh and the devil. You've been designed to be a child of the living God. You will not be satisfied until you are filled with the living God and you have the Spirit of the living God within you. So don't play games with God. And that's what I would say desperately and passionately this morning, because I certainly did. I don't think you have the luxury of time like I had at the time, but I certainly would never do that again. Or recommend, even if you knew that you had an hour, don't wait. Even as Josh went up here, it's like, let's pray now this morning. There should be an urgency to jump in with both feet and say, God, I am all yours. Take my life, everything, take my life and make it yours, Lord God. There will come a time where he will allow, and this is like, God is restraining this. Satan would have us all destroyed. He's the destroyer. He's a liar and the father of lies. So that is like a dam that with all this pressure behind it, that Satan's desiring to sift us. Satan's desiring to destroy us. And God is restraining. The Holy Spirit is restraining. His bride, the church being on this earth, is restraining. And God is just going to allow that to go. At the right time, he's going to allow that to go and Satan to have his work done on this. So that's what I see there. This cause God shall send them a strong delusion. This is the permissive will of God. He's going to allow what's being restrained to this point to flow in. That people are going to get the strong delusion and that's it. They're going to be damned as they're walking on this earth. Just as I believe Judas was when Satan entered him in that Last Supper. That was it for him. Jesus says it would have been better if he had never been born. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Scary, strong words this morning. We serve a holy God. He's not a mushy marshmallow God in heaven that winks and blinks at sin. He's a holy, mighty God, a very powerful God, a very beautiful God. He loves us dearly. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to finish the letter this morning. I was going to go into some different areas and talk about this some more. But I think that is good just to leave it there. If you want to study more on that, look at Romans 9, 8 and 9. I'll leave that to you if you want to dig into that more. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. This is verse 13. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. A lot going on there in one verse. God has chosen you to salvation. It's kind of like this. It's like, has God chosen me? Or hasn't he chosen me? What if I'm not chosen and all this? And you have other verses that say, whosoever will come to the Lord. He will know, and no wise cast out anybody that comes to him. So we have those promises of God. We have different verses that were read this morning. Terry read and Roger read about salvation. I think Mindy did too. We have, and God's desire that people be saved, that none should perish. So we know that's all working. But at the same time, we have this God chooses people thing that's in the scripture. And it's one of those things that we can't understand because we can't, our eternity began now. It didn't always exist. We have such a limited understanding. So here's the simplest way I've heard somebody teach it before, is that when we enter in and we're saved by God, it's a door that says, whosoever will come. And we enter into that door. Jesus is the door. He says, I am the door. Enter into the narrow gate. You know, there isn't a million doors. There isn't a million ways to get in. There's one door, and that's Jesus Christ, his blood on the cross. So I look at this door, and I hear the invitation of the preacher. It says, whosoever will, come. So I come in. I enter through belief. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, every sin in my life, past, present, and future. And he's faithful, continue the good work that's in me. And I get through this door that says, whosoever will come. And I turn around and look, and above that door, it says, chosen from the foundation of the world. I say, cool, God. That's really cool. You knew I was going to walk through that door. So that's a simple illustration of God choosing us. And if you try to go any further than that, it can get, you lose your mind. Because we don't understand how you can God can be in the past, present, and future all at the same time. So we're thanking God. He's thanking God to, this is Paul, Timotheus, Silvanus, as this letter begins, three guys that are reaching into this church. Because God has, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. When you are saved, it's not just you're forgiven. You are filled, you are born again. You are sanctified of the Spirit. What does that mean? It's like a seed. Anybody doing gardening this year? Putting seeds in the ground? Asher planted some peas yesterday. Did a good job. He only ate two dirt clods while we were out there. Sorry. He was more interested in dirt clods, eating them and throwing them. But he was part of the pea planting this year. But that seed from heaven, it's really being born from above. That's literally what it means. Yeah, you're born again a second time. You were born from your mother, and now you're born again. But literally, it means born from above. There's a seed from heaven. This seed is completely perfect and holy. It's a seed from heaven. It does not sin, and it births something in you that will never sin. It's the Spirit. Now you have a Spirit that doesn't sin. And we're encouraged to walk in that Spirit, to walk in this new life, to use these new eyes that he's given me. No longer do I have these eyes that, oh, what can I get out of this person? What can I get out of that? It's what can I give? I become like him. I become more like God, more like the Father in heaven. It's natural for a child to do that, to want to be like the parent. And in this case, it's an awesome thing because we have a perfect parent in heaven. None of our parents are perfect on this earth. I speak as an imperfect grandfather and a perfect father. None of us are perfect. Even Jesus says, you who being evil parents, and speaking of imperfection, give good things to your children. You do good things. You try to be good. How much more your Father in heaven wants to give you this perfect Holy Spirit, to give you what you need. This is what you were created for, and to be a child, a son or daughter of the living God. This is your purpose for being here on earth. You are saved. You've walked through that door. The blood flows over you and dumps over you as you walk through that door, making you clean, ready to receive what is holy from above. Now that birth happens, and it's a beginning. You're an infant in Christ. You're still, man, you're still struggling a lot with things and different things, and that struggle will continue, but it's still like kind of controlling you in a lot of ways, but you learn to walk, and it's a learning process. That's what sanctification means. Things in your life continually are being set apart, and you become more like him on a day-to-day basis. That's our growth. That's our sanctification. So the Spirit of God and of truth. We're in the Word of God, and it's the truth that trains us to be able to yield between the Spirit and the flesh. So you guys are hearing the truth of God right now. And your spirit is feeding off of that, and your mind is taking that in, and your mind is going to be able to say, okay, this is spirit, this is not spirit. I'm going to reject these things. I'm going to receive these things. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You who have obtained, who have received Jesus Christ, you have obtained the glory of Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything has glory in God's creation. Everything has a certain glory to it, a certain wonder to it. Even a bacteria. Do you know a bacteria? We can't see it. We have to get a powerful microscope. A bacteria has an outboard motor on it that turns at 1,000 or 10,000 RPM. And it has the little gears on it and everything. A bacteria. Evolutionists look at that and we don't know what to do with that. How does something like that evolve? You can't even explain a bacteria with evolution. Evolution is stupid. It's absolutely the worst thing that's happened to Earth in the last 100 years. It is part of this, what I believe, the great delusion. It's the framework of it. It's the foundation of it, this evolutionary teaching. From that evolutionary teaching came this idea that Jews are apes. Or this, if you're not a particular kind of person, then we need to get rid of you because of evolution. We need to help evolution along and get rid of imperfect people. Why did he kill Jews? Why do you think he killed? Does anybody ask that question? Why did he kill 6 million Jews? Because they got bad breath? Because they run all the jewelry stores? Jewelry? Why? Because of Darwin. Origin of the species. He came up with this whole idea that Nazis are perfect. It runs the KKK, by the way. All of these ideas that there's inferior races. And we need to help the evolutionary thing along by killing all the inferior. How sick and twisted from hell that is. And it's still alive today. That's going to be the foundation. It's in your schools, this evolutionary teaching. It's the foundation of hate. Columbine. The kids that wrote it, I'm going to blow off his I'm going to blow his jaw right off. Some reference to his race, not having the way his jaw was formed. He was inferior. It was part of this evolutionary teaching. Columbine was because of Darwin. It's a great delusion. It's a huge problem. It's pervasive, and it's under the disguise of intelligence. It's all Romans 1. All of this is coming true. In their wisdom, they became fools and they're denying God. And so this all happened by accident. Be encouraged because of Good News Club. Be encouraged because of youth group. Be encouraged because of teachers like Holly that are in there. Mrs. Vanderstyle. Be encouraged, though. I'm not going to curse the darkness. We're going to burn brighter for Christ. That's the glory of Christ. We're to be His scent, His savor, everywhere we go, to leave the scent of Christ. It's a wonderful life. It really is. To discover that you were made to be a child or a son or daughter of Him. Well, we'll finish this chapter anyway. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, you betcha, and hold the traditions or the teaching or instruction, the example, which you've been taught, whether by word or by letter. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, seeing them as one, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation, who has the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, one, and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Everlasting consolation. There is something that's going to gnaw in you until you are fully engaged in the kingdom of heaven. Not 1 foot out like Paulie Myers playing games with Christ and wasting his life away. Fully engaged. There's going to be something gnawing at you and unsatisfying about life until you're filled with that sanctification of His Holy Spirit, until that seed from heaven drops in and you're fully given over to it. The more you yield over to it, the more you yield to, over to it, you're going to have what this is talking about. Everlasting consolation. It's like, man, there's a fulfillment and a belief that, wow, I'm going to live forever with God. I don't know what heaven's like, and I don't really understand all the things of God, but I just have this knowing, I have a consolation and a peace that all is right between me and God. I'm going to be with Him forever. Everlasting consolation. It talks about in Ecclesiastes that God has put this eternity in man's heart. He didn't put it in the beaver, the woodchuck, or the turkey. He didn't put these that longing for eternity, that wondering about, there's got to be more to life. There's got to be more than having a fancy truck, or there's got to be more than having a great garden and an orchard. There's got to be more to being a great sports hero. There's got to be something more. And we see that in people's lives because they get to the top, then all of a sudden they're doing drugs and they fall. Now why? You had everything. You were a success. You were, everybody praised you. You had the praise of men. You had everything. A great house, a boat, tree boats and cars and limousines. You had everything. People making your meals and all this just because you could put 3 points in from the outside. What was wrong with you? You didn't have the eternal consolation. Eternity wasn't resolved in you. We are creatures of eternity. You need the Spirit of God. Let's pray this morning for that. Praise you, Lord God. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and given us ye everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We accept that prayer. We believe and we stand here 2,000 years later after this letter being written, God, believing that it is just as on fire, it's just as real, it's just as viable, Lord God, it's just as rich and fresh as it was as when the pen had hit the paper, had hit the parchment. We believe in your word of God right now, Lord Jesus, as it enters into us and sets us apart to walk after the Spirit. If you don't have both feet in, I'd encourage you to do that now. Step in. Step in. It's as easy as that. Stepping through a door, believing Jesus Christ. I believe you paid for every sin. And you love to do it for the joy that was set before you, Lord. You're a great hero. Romantic, wonderful hero. I don't mind being called your bride. It's a manly thing. Praise you, God. I want to step into that, Lord God. I want to step in and just to be able to radiate your glory, God. Just as you died for us, Lord God, to lay my life down for people around me. Starting with my own bride, Lord God. Receive him now. Receive Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, take my life. I'm like an empty can at the redemption center. I'm just turning myself in, Lord God, and I know there's something of value coming in now. I receive your Holy Spirit into my life. Drop the seed into me, God. Make me new, Lord God. Make my eyes new, my ears new, my mouth new, my tongue new, my heart new, Lord God, my body new. Plant in me, Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven, your presence in me, Lord God. I believe, Lord Jesus Christ, that you're coming. And I don't want to be caught in this great delusion. I reject evolution and its teachings and the lies of the devil. All men, all women, everyone is equal in your kingdom, Lord God. That's the truth. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Help me walk every day, Lord. Protect me, Lord God. Put me under your wing, dear Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.